The following podcast contains strong language and ridiculous cartoon scenarios conjured up by two self-proclaimed comedy wizards. Between you and me, they're more like Saturday morning court jesters fueled by sugary cereal. But either way, the opinions expressed and presented are mere musings, so please humor their well-intentioned hijinks with a laugh and not by taking anything they say seriously. Unless, of course, you want to pay them to say something else. Could always use a new pair of shoes.
Welcome to ReviewParty.com. I'm Brent.
I'm Matt.
I'm actually Dark Matt. Sorry to inform you.
Oh, the continuity. Yeah. So if you don't know who Dark Matt is, you might want to refer to issue 65. Or was it 64?
65.
Issue 65 to see Dark Matt Origins, also known as Karen the Karen. Terrible things, traumatic things, but if you're here for the long haul in episode 65, yeah, Dark Matt's ready. Dark Matt's feeling feisty again. He learned about heritage turkeys before we started recording, really set him off.
I'm prepared.
But are you prepared for this review submitted by the ever wonderful Tatiana Bailey? Thank you, Tat.
Thanks.
This is a review from SpiritHalloween.com.
They're open, folks. Get out there. Get in.
Yeah, they are, I'm sure, lighting up the countryside as we speak. This is a review for a yellow curly wig. It's a clown afro wig that is macaroni and cheese yellow.
Blah.
This review is written by Leroy151. They title it Fun Wig for Fun People. I got three, yellow, blue, and red, on sale. Lots of fun for the mun. They are not the cheapest or thinnest out there. They are pretty thick, carpet weave, and might last a long time. Bottom line, yes, I would recommend to a friend. 5 stars.
Ooh, am I just uninformed and fun for the mun is a commonly known phrase?
Oh, no, I think Leroy's spinning something original right there.
He's got his phrase loom or his potter's wheel, and he's just like, what's going to come out this time?
Yeah, he's a free spirit. That's why he shops at Spirit Halloween. He loves their deals. He really is in tune with how free-spirited they are with their sales, just like he is with his vocabulary. He's like a guy in a trench coat where he opens the one side, and instead of watches, it's just like those refrigerator magnets where you throw words and make phrases together. It's like that of interesting phrases, like lots of fun for the mun.
Oh, I love that. Tease me, don't please me.
Hey, son, you looking for some interesting phrases?
It's not quite in the nomenclature.
Lots of conversation starters here, boy. I guess that's the sound of a trench coat opening. Two phrases.
It's a little starchy.
Leroy, he hits the cleaners a lot. He says extra starchy.
Would sound much different if it were a costume trench coat. He's invested in a real trench coat.
Costume wig, real trench coat. Let's keep it clear.
Okay, he got three afro wigs.
Three cartoon afro wigs. And he would equate these wigs. The ratio of fun to mun for these wigs is off the charts.
And they're like carpet. That's how thick woven these things are.
You know the scene in Ferris Bueller where the secretary keeps pulling shit out of her hair?
Yes.
Yeah, these come pre-packed with pencils and shit.
You got some Go-Gurt up there. You don't know what's going to tumble out.
Yeah, it's like Tommy Pickles' diaper. It's just like an endless bag of holding. Reach up, pull out a record. Oh, the Bee Gees. I haven't listened to them in a while.
Oh, nice. Bee Gees.
You pull out a little man. There's an entire colony of little clown people living in their wigs.
Okay. Some creepy Lilliputians. Just. We've been disturbed. That's when you realize it's not really a wig. It is, in fact, an ecosystem.
I just thought of, I don't know, some guy with a Boston accent seeing his, out on Halloween, his friends wearing a yellow curly wig. He sees, this Boston guy sees little creatures roaming around in his wig. He looks, he's like, Phil,
hey,
you got some, buddy, I don't know how to tell you this. You got some little putians up there in your wig.
Hey, you got to get them out of there. You know what I mean?
You got to get them out there. Ugh. Yeah, they call them little putians because they're little and they stink like shuns.
It's probably not politically correct, but meh.
Yeah, it's little putians. Politically correct. When was that book written? In the freaking 1800s?
I think so.
Now we gotta look up.
If only I had a review of it. Well, I don't.
The Jack Black version, did they call them little putians in that?
I did not see it, believe it or not. And
I did not either. Yeah, the Jack Black version of Gulliver's Travels, unfortunately, was not high on the old list. As a big of a fan as I am of classic satire. You know what? I'm gonna say 1800s. No one fact checking me. We're just gonna trust my college degree there. All right, I paid a lot of money for it.
English, bro.
It's not worth anything else except correctly within 100 years naming when a book was published.
Well, can you correctly name when this movie came out? This movie for which this Amazon review has been written. This movie happens to be Desperado.
Desperado. We're going to say 57.
Not quite. It's something else.
It's a newer, is it a new movie?
You aren't as familiar with Desperado as I am. 1995 film, okay. Starring Antonio Banderas and Selma Hayek.
I just heard, Desperado. I was like, man, that's an easy cowboy word. They had to knock that out early in the spaghetti western era.
Sure. Yeah. There probably is an older Desperado out there. This is part of the Robert Rodriguez Mexico trilogy movies.
Sure. I'd like to picture it as the guy found out that Desperado wasn't used as a cowboy movie yet. And he's like, I got to write that movie. I got to write Desperado.
Yeah.
That's where it started.
Oh, my goodness. So if you haven't seen that movie, this this is going to be
a fun one, huh?
Well, just to shortly sum up, picture Antonio Banderas in the mid-90s.
Sure.
Ooh.
Fresh off of Stephen King adaption, 13 Warriors.
Possibly. Then put him in Mexico, make sure he has a guitar, but also in his guitar case there are guns, and sometimes he shoots through the guitar case to shoot people. It's amazing.
Is this the movie with the gif where he goes, you know what gif I'm talking about?
I don't know.
Antonio Vera sitting back and going, like someone just was like, yeah, this heist resulted in $12 million. He's like biting the knuckle. Anyway, let's hear this review.
All right. Henry P. Pierce titles his review, "Great movie with plenty of action and drama." And Henry writes, "Excellent movie with new stars, Selma Hayek." And that's what he wrote. And of course, Banderas, where I first encountered him in Philadelphia as Tom Hanks' character's partner. Selma is a raven-haired beauty who immediately stole my heart, and I was hooked forever with anything she starred in afterwards. Great storyline and a cast of characters fill this movie with a story that could be played out even today in the small towns of Mexico. 5 stars.
Selma Hayek's got to look out. Her hair's made of birds. I hope she knows. I imagine she knows, now that I think about it.
Yeah.
How'd you not?
How would you not? Medusa knows that her hair is made of snakes. That's her thing.
I feel like she's buddies with her snakes.
Yeah, they're first cousins.
Right, they're homies. And good first cousins. Not like first cousins who you just kind of say hi to.
Like once in first a while cousins, you see him.
Yeah, you're like, you just obligated to say hi. The first cousins where you're like, you get Thanksgiving, you're going right to the game room. And you know they're on the couch playing some Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles already.
Oh, yes.
Ready for you to hit start and join right on in. Yeah, but bird hair. That's
your big
Desperado comedy bit here I got.
Okay. I should say the one thing. Henry wrote this review in 2012. And
sure.
I guess maybe when this movie came out, Antonio and Selma were new stars. But the way he's talking about them, he's like, I've just discovered these two.
The Selma Hayek? Yeah, imagine discovering Selma Hayek in 2012.
I mean, I'd still, like, hey.
Maybe that's what I discovered. Maybe I shouldn't be so judgmental. I also thought, I think Philadelphia is the movie with the gif I'm talking about.
Okay. Philadelphia is a movie about Tom Hanks getting AIDS, I think.
Is it really? What the heck?
Yeah.
Does anything cool happen to Antonio Banderas while Tom Hanks is getting AIDS?
I don't know. I haven't seen it.
Why is it called Philadelphia? Is that where he's getting AIDS?
I don't know.
I sent you the gif. That I'm trying to.
That's not Mexico.
That's
very much not Mexico. But that's a good. Yeah, I have seen that gif.
Yeah, that's right. That's an iconic gif. I don't think it's either of those movies. So I think I'm barking up the wrong Banderas here. Barking up the wrong Antonio. Well, as a Desperado fan, is there anything that strikes you before we move on about this review?
Mostly the last line when Henry says, this is a story that could be played out even today in the small towns of Mexico. People are going to be running that. Rooftop to rooftop, bullets flying.
That rules.
Bands just whip out guns.
Yeah, that's like... that's like watching the review in The Matrix and being like, oh, this wonderful documentary. This is happening right now.
I get it now.
I'm the chosen one.
I just need to fly.
Normally, I would avoid a similar review, another movie review in the name variety, but I feel let's keep the movie train going.
Cool. Chug-a-chug.
With what I assume you've seen, but I guess not. I mean, this is an Amazon review for Spider-Man 3. Sam Raimi, of course.
Yes, you are free to assume.
I'm free.
This is the one with Bruce Campbell in it, right?
Sure.
He's in all of them because he worked with Sam Raimi on Evil Dead, Evil Dead 2, and Evil Dead.
I know. In one, he's the announcer at the wrestling thing. I don't remember him in the other two.
I think it's the third one. That's where Peter tries to propose, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's the maitre d'. It's like, yes, sir, yes.
Cool.
Oh, perfect. Fun.
Yeah, that movie sucks. Anyway, not the color of this review. The cat's out of the bag. Not that T. Welch was going to be keeping it in there too much longer. Or they title it, My Rating is Unfair, but I'm trying to curve the grade.
Okay.
Interesting the way to use the title.
Yeah.
Keep it real, folks. This movie sucks. This moment in film history should be taught in film school, though. It's when great films like, quote, Spider-Man 2, unquote, become successful. So studios, Sony, were rushing to go bigger and better. They forced the director to add an extra villain into the plot at the last minute. It never fit. Bad casting. This film bombs! And then Sony immediately decides to reboot the franchise. Gross. The 8 Garfield movies should be erased from history. Not that they're that bad. They kinda are. But more so because we didn't need them. It was a cash grab. And this movie started the descent into Sony cash grab madness. Now they're at it again, leaving Marvel. Get ready for Spider-Man's franchise to become a mess again. 1 star.
Wow. Okay. I don't even know where to start.
You can't disagree with the man. That really...
No, the movie had flaws. Yes, Sandman did not need to be in it.
My daughter.
You've got enough going on already.
My daughter, she's sick. Venom, please help me.
But it is not anywhere near... as bad as The Amazing Spider-Man 2. All I can picture from that is stupid Paul Giamatti's face in the last 10 seconds of the movie, thinking, what is Paul Giamatti doing in here?
See, that's kind of how I felt about... I was hesitant. I was like, oh, Spider-Man 3. There'll be some funny ones. And then I was like, I remembered. There's a lot of reviews like saying, like, this movie's, it, you know... Sorry to play my hand here. There's a lot of idiots saying, like, this movie gets a bad rap. It's actually great. Venom was awesome. And as a huge Venom fan, I was like, I'm always been like
Topher Grace.
I was like, this is awful. It's the worst iteration of Venom ever.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I probably can't talk about this movie because I would, that would color it too much. But no, then I saw T. Welch, the shining diamond in the pile of one-star reviews for Spider-Man 3. But I guess happy ending, as long as we're just talking about how much we like the Spider-Man movies. I like the little man, little Tom. What's his name?
Little Tom.
Little Tom. That's his name. I like the little Tom version.
Tom Thumb.
Little Tom Timothy.
Yeah, he's good. He's good.
Little British lad. He even does the Bronx accent right.
He's a professional actor.
That's one thing about the Toby lovers often forget. Where's the New York kid accent? He sounds like he's from Connecticut.
Yeah. Toby, everybody loves Toby.
I do love a Toby, all right? I do love Bully Maguire. I remember seeing this movie in theaters, as bad as it was, the Toby performance kept me in there. It's some avant-garde craziness.
Yeah, it's a little bit of Nicolas Cage-esque.
Sure, yeah. It's
like, you got the performer to do this, or did the performer do this and you didn't dare turn off the camera?
Right, the performer's going places. And it's artistic. Is that a good word for it? And we're going to put it on screen and it's going to be lovely. Yeah. Old Mr. Maguire. Hey, they might be back. Spoilers.
That's right. I can't wait.
Yeah, it should be cool. I mean, we got if it's all hype crap and it's just Doc Ock, I'm even excited. But I think it's more.
I think so, too.
Really, I just want MCU Venom. Again, playing by your hand, but maybe they'll mess it up too, and I can be mad all over again.
It's fun to be mad.
That's why we have this podcast, isn't it?
Yes.
Dark Matt, what do you have a review?
I have something to try and strengthen you weaklings up to my level. That was hilarious.
I was laughing. I'm laughing.
That's like that dang Jeb Bush. Please clap. Poor guy. I have an Amazon. Okay.
Rich bastard.
I have an Amazon review for the Expand a Lung Breathing Fitness Exerciser. It's like, it's a mouthpiece thing that I guess restricts your breathing and is supposed to help you expand your lungs, make them stronger.
Okay. Sure. So while you exercise, you wear this dumb binky and it makes your lungs stronger.
Yeah, something like that. And Kindle customer, someone playing Amazon's game a little bit, because it's not just it's not just randomly assigned that's actually their name.
They are a dedicated Kindle customer.
Yeah. Kindle customer titles her review, "I've not passed out since using it the third day." And she writes, "Obviously this item is designed for a man's use. As a woman, it took a while to figure out just how to adjust its size. Using this device causes effort to breathe, but seems to loosen mucus or other problems deep within the lungs. That said, I may be using it on a too high setting because I have trouble completing a complete in then out breath, just one. But instead of just a non-productive repeated dry cough that results in me not able to breathe at all, it seems I'm moving stuff around. So far, not all the way out. I'm confident continued use, especially when I am strong enough to have sets of breaths, for things to continue to improve. 5 stars.
This device is rearranging the genetic code of her lungs. It's turning her insides into like caterpillar cocoon DNA goo. Is she shifting things around? I picture it's little men moving little Tetris blocks. This is bad, right? You were a college athlete. You know a thing or two about exercise. You definitely should breathe a lot while you're exercising, right?
Yeah, your muscles need oxygen.
Yeah.
You need to function.
You clean your brain.
All of it. Everything. You will shut down when the oxygen stops going. When the lactic acid builds up, buddy, you fall down.
I'm just thinking, like, even that aside, you're not going to expand your lung capacity by not using them. You expand it by using them, by breathing heavily during exercise. Am I wrong?
I mean, free divers can certainly expand their lung capacity by doing breath holds and diving and holding their breath. And there are altitude masks, or you do altitude training. Go to Colorado, run in the hills. You're like, oh, man.
The air is thinner.
And you're like, wow, I wish I could race here all the time. But your blood oxygen, there's blood doping, where you take somebody's blood they have more blood oxygen count. And you're like, whoa, I can supply my muscles with so much more oxygen now.
Is that common in professional sports?
It's not. Well, I don't know how common it is, but it's like illegal.
It is illegal. What if you got in a car accident, you needed some blood, you got some of that sick Colorado O positive pumping through the veins, then you got a race to run the next day, and they catch you for blood doping?
I say go for it. That's how many origin stories is that, where you get a transfusion of blood and then you turn into something stronger than you were? Yes. Ninja Turtle, there was the female Ninja Turtle that happened to. Like, she was a member of the Foot Clan, and then she got all messed up because she was hanging with turtles, and then they're like, let's give her some turtle blood. She's dying. Now she's a turtle.
What the fuck? I'm not familiar with that wacky storyline. It's a
newer development in the comics. Not that I've read, but I've done some research. You know me.
As long as there's a tangent in here, I have been reading the Ronin series of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Mm-hmm.
About the future, where all the turtles, three of the four brothers are dead.
I gotta
get
out.
The fourth brother has a bit of a death wish. And the other ones are talking to him. You don't know who the living brother is. It's a crazy one. Cool. It's really good.
Okay, I've just gone to expandalung.com, and it says it's the number one breathing fitness exerciser for athletes and respiratory care /COPD used by Navy SEALs.
What is this thing called?
Expand a lung.
That sounds horrifying.
It looks like a mouthpiece, like you might wear in football, but there's just like a little nozzle on the end that I, again, assume just restricts your breathing.
What the fuck is this thing? What the fuck is this thing, dude? Like, this looks like an awful torture device. They got some diagrams here. They got little pictures or cross sections of lungs to make me think I'm reading what the experts say? I don't know, dude. It sounds like it's killing this woman.
Yeah, she can take one breath at a time and has to stop.
At that point, just hold your breath while you're running until you pass out.
No kidding.
I don't know. I am very skeptic. Do not order this and expect me to try it.
I was going to say, are you telling me specifically not to order this?
Do not. You can try it. I'll try. I'll do anything for the views, man. I'll do anything for this podcast. You want to do some silly stuff, whore me out to the internet for views and clicks, bro, I'm ready. But
okay.
I draw the line at the fucking expandalung.
All right.
I'm not putting this bad boy anywhere near me. This is a murder device.
Quite possibly.
They got a valve. You can adjust the valve. And like, it's locked into your teeth, dude. It's got little grippy, so it stays in on your teeth. What kind of shit do you need that? All right. I'm getting worked up here.
Yeah.
I'm going to get sued by Expandalung. COPD?
Yeah. That's real.
Their old people are putting this in their face, bro. I need a break to cool off here.
All right, let's take a break. Nice and surly.
Hey, everybody. Thank you for listening to our lovely little podcast. If you'd like to go above and beyond in supporting our show, or have the most fabulous conversation starter since sliced bread, go to reviewparty.com. Click on shop and explore some fabulous t-shirt designs.
Where's your favorite place to wear a t-shirt?
On my body.
Mine is at the store.
That is a good place to wear a t-shirt. ReviewBuddy.com.com. Click shop.
Why stop there?
Don't stop now.
Don't stop me now, because I'm buying a t-shirt. I'm buying a shirt.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the second half of the episode. And welcome to Celebrity Reviews. What? Who? I don't know. That's the Celebrity Reviews theme song.
I love it. What a beat to it, bro.
Who? I don't know. Yeah, it's great. The first segment that we did here featured none other than Jeff Bezos.
Boo.
This one, on the other hand, that will lift our spirits. It's actually a reviewer we have featured on one occasion before, but she's so much fun, she deserves this segment. That was before we had this segment existed. So now a whole segment dedicated to the lovely...
Is it? What's her freaking name, dude?
Oh, I'm staring at her picture.
She's got red hair.
Yes, she does.
She's the original gamer girl. What? Tell me your name.
And we bow down to Felicia Day.
Hey, Felicia Day. That's right. I knew it was an F1 too.
That's right. Every nerd boy's fantasy girl, Felicia Day, who is a published author and obviously, like any other nerd, reads lots of books. So, Felicia Day has a Goodreads account. She has lots of shelves. She's talked to her fans there. It seems like she's got a cool, great community.
Yeah, last time, what episode did we talk about the vagina book?
Jesus,
I think the whole episode was
26,
just named.
I don't know.
Yeah, this is a poll. This is way back from the review.
We're going way back. So I've got some book reviews from Felicia, and I'm going to start out with Dark Magic of the Dark Series number 4.
Okay.
And this comes from her Vaginal Urban Fantasy Bookshelf. That's where she categorized it. That was the one. Which, for you laymans out there, means it's an urban fantasy story centered around a woman who has a vagina. In case you needed that clarification. Felicia writes, ugh. Okay, this is the worst. I had seen this series floating around, so popular, and I decided to give it a whirl. Got 2 books. I try not to be critical, but these Carpathian dudes are too much to tolerate. I mean, alpha is one thing, but they're controlling, condescending, and borderline abusive. Not for me. Ugh. She writes a pretty good racy scene, and that's the best I can say about it. I wanted to punch the dudes in these books. 2 stars.
So Carpathian, is that a fantasy race or a fantasy family or something, I'm guessing?
Gotta be. She's smarter than both of us combined.
Yeah. I was sitting there the whole time. I was like, Carpathian? I don't know.
Carpathian mountains are a range of mountains forming an arc across Central and Eastern Europe.
Hmm.
Okay.
So these mountain men,
these mountain
impolite,
Europeans,
but they know how to fuck.
Yeah.
That's what I got that for the review.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's not for her. That's not for me either. I don't want to see that.
I don't want to see these impolite men fucking.
No, you gotta ask please.
If they're polite, I don't even know them. We'll see.
Following on that sort of train of thought, here's Felicia's review of Spell of the Highlander. Highlander number 7 from her Highland Hunk Fantasy Bookshelf.
Nice.
Felicia writes, ugh. I like this author's dark fever books, but ooh, this kilted thing has got to stop. When do men ever say, quote, mine, when having sex? No man I would be involved in, that's for sure. 2 stars.
She's not into the whole caveman aesthetic, huh?
No, I guess not. Just the troglodyte, woman, mine.
He clubs her over the head with his big caveman stick and brings her back to the
wonder
cave.
Why she's not doing any work, am I right? Well, you've knocked her unconscious, Grog.
Yeah, come on, Grog. And Grog's little light lamppost bird that next to him goes, it's a living.
Is that a reference to something that I'm not getting?
That's the Flintstones joke.
Okay.
My setup was a little rushed. I apologize.
Yeah, that was good. Good.
The caveman opens the pelican trash in his room and throws the condom in there. And the pelican goes, it's a living.
That's awful. And these reviews have been awful so far. That her ratings, the reviews have been wonderful.
This smut turning me into Dark Brent.
We're going to try and turn a corner here. This is Felicia's review of Nightlife, Cal Leandros number one. And this is under her Urban Paranormal and Man Fantasy bookshelves.
Urban Paranormal and Man Fantasy.
Yes.
Okay.
Felicia writes, I'm listing this book because I believe that guys who want less vagina in their urban fantasy would enjoy this. I wasn't sucked in, but it was pretty good. I do think that others might be, and that's why I'm listing it. If you like Jim Butcher, then read the blurb and decide. 3 stars.
So is there...
This is centered around a man.
There's lots of dudes. Okay. I was like, are the guys fucking? Is that how there's less vagina?
I think there's probably less of a place for romance.
I think she's using vagina as a filler word for femininity, right?
Probably.
Right. So a book of less femininity.
Yes. Female perspective.
Literal vagina, I guess there is less of as well.
Probably.
It's just sort of unspoken as usual.
Yeah, I really don't care how much vagina is in the book as long as you don't measure a book by vagina. Measure it by content of story.
You say that, but if your buddy hands you a novella and he says, a lot of vagina in this book, curiosity might kill the cat, my friend.
Oh, I've read The House on Mango Street, so I've seen some things. Probably in poor taste, that joke, but no one's read that book out there, so.
We'll pretend it's in good taste.
I don't know if it is or isn't. It's a classic, but go read it. Get back to me.
Yeah.
Not as bad as The Kite Runner.
Go read the book and then email us and let us know if Matt was offensive or not.
Here's a book lots of people have probably read or will see. This is Felicia's review of The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
I love it. I love the book.
Felicia writes, what can I say? I wish I had been in the movie, although it was bad, and I guess I should be happy about not being in it. 5 stars.
Maybe I sound like a Spider-Man 3 Amazon reviewer, but I don't think Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy is that bad. Does it live up to the book? Of course not.
Right.
It's one of the best tongue-in-cheek sci-fi, the best tongue-in-cheek sci-fi book ever written.
Yes, Douglas Adams is a treasure.
Right, and there's lots of concepts, lots of things that just don't translate to a visual medium well.
I'll say, to its credit, when you're trying to fit a lot of stuff from a book into a movie, usually they just don't do it. To its credit, Hitchhiker's Guide is actually like, it's a long movie.
Yeah.
They don't try to make it an hour and a half.
How perfect is the dolphin? The little dolphin medley at the beginning? Beautiful,
beautiful opening.
Yasin Bey's? Mr. Most Def's performance. Wonderful.
Love him.
Remember when they all turn into yarn people and they puke up yarn? That joke made my dad laugh, I remember.
That was awesome. As long as we're on that train of movie book adaptations, here's Felicia's review for Watchmen.
Another Brent fave.
Yeah.
Felicia, what are you doing?
Hey, like I said, she's in her just like us. Felicia writes, what to say? I read this after I saw the movie, which was sacrilege. Weird. According to some fellow geeks on Twitter. But my definition of, quote, geek, someone who doesn't do what people pressure them to do.
Wow.
Tongue out. They do what they love. So anywho, I read this and I can summarize this way. The movie did a great summary of the plot while formulating a story that missed the subtext of the graphic novel entirely. I enjoyed both, but after reading the graphic novel, it's almost sad how the impression you take away from the movie is nothing of what Alan Moore was trying to say about the world, society, or these characters. So interesting. 5 stars.
I mean, she's right. She's right. The one person who got it right, though, who's Rorschach's actor?
I don't know the actor, but he's the best character in it, bruh.
Right. Jack Earl Haley. But he got Rorschach just right. I don't know if the writing was quite there. Obviously, there's a lot about Rorschach's character that is missed, but man, when he says them Rorschach lines, it couldn't be anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, the rest of that movie, the action scenes are cool. I watch it every now and then to see them beat the up some guys. The sex scene, so gratuitous and weird.
Yeah, a little bit of urban fantasy leaking into the movie there.
When the sex scene climax and they like bump into the flamethrower button on the flying Batmobile,
right.
And it like to the music shoots a big flamethrower out the front. It's like, what happened to Alan Moore's message and masterpiece? That's really the low point. Take us out of here.
All right. This one is going to give us something to chew on. Felicia's review for Heroes Die, The Acts of Cain, number one. From Man Fantasy, Epic Fantasy, and Fantasy Bookshelves. Felicia writes, "Whoa! Blast of testosterone to the face in the midst of my romance novel obsession. This was fantastic!" So this book is really hard to describe. It takes place in a futuristic dystopian society that uses crazy technology to send, quote, actors to an alternate reality called Overworld, a traditional fantasy-ish world. They are watched back home via virtual reality tech as the actors live in the fantasy world. The fantasy people have no idea they're from an alternate dimension. The hero, Harry, is basically the Sylvester Stallone, at his peak, of act, and his wife, another actor, gets trapped in the other world and he has to go save her. That's the basics. It's very Hunger Games-esque in a way, but way darker. Way darker. I mean, talk about a dark anti-hero. Talk about a cool alt sci-fi fantasy world. Talk about some violent assholes who populate both universes. I mean, Harry is one of the biggest badasses I've read in a long time. Seriously flawed, very nihilistic world/worlds, really, he's involved in, and yet his journey is so full of emotion, you root for him every step of the way. This is an alpha male you can get behind. Damn. Hot damn. Don't read if you like profanity, unlikable characters, and awesome fight scenes, smiley face. If you like really, really gritty, dark fantasy like George R.R. Martin, Richard Morgan, Takashi Kovacs books, or especially Joe Abercrombie, you should get this book. 5 stars.
Unfortunate for this wonderful modern dark anti-hero, he shares a name with Harry Potter.
Really, yeah.
It really takes the winds out of his manly sails for me.
A little bit. It's H-A-R-I, if that makes a difference.
Harry, like my armpits are hairy?
I don't know. And he's got a different name when he's in the other world.
He's got a secret identity.
The role he plays is Kane.
I don't know, Felicia. I'm going to withhold judgment. I guess I'll trust her for now, but sounds a little out there.
All right. Maybe she had too much of the sissy stuff, and
I'm sure there's some getting behind some alpha males. That's some people's cup of tea. I'm gonna stay over here catching from the alpha males. All right, okay. They can do the pitching, Felicia.
All right.
Is that all we got for
that's
for
all
Miss
we
Day?
Got from Miss hey, Day?
It was great to have her back.
It was.
Next time we'll actually have her on the show.
Yeah, you know it.
You absolutely know it. Well, I guess I got a review, huh?
I would hope so.
Yeah, no reviews this week, Matt. I'm piggybacking off of you.
Okay.
No, I got a review from. I'm just gonna put it out there. Yelp Japan, baby.
Oh. Yatta!
Got a review from Yelp Japan for the Thunder Dolphin roller coaster.
This is amazing.
This is a roller coaster that I'll just link you to the page here, Matt. It is a roller coaster in downtown Tokyo that weaves its way through city buildings.
Whoa!
Yeah, I sadly never went on. I went past the loss of times. I love roller coasters. It's top of the list next time I hit the shores of the land of the rising sun. Did you read the review?
I read the first one I saw.
Yeah, I think it's that one. This is a review from Manny R. He's been a Yelp elite since 2019. Keep up the good work, Manny. Manny writes in his review, "Not bad. The feeling that you'll be tossed off among the surrounding buildings is a kicker. Some good G's, no loops. But hey, I'm Tokyo, bitches." Smiley face, 3 stars.
What, three stars for, I don't know how you take any stars away.
It's not bad.
No loops.
Not bad is at least a 4 to me.
Yeah.
I mean, there was some good G's. There were some good homies on the coaster with them. What's not to like?
I don't know. Anything that makes you feel excited enough to say, "I'm Tokyo, bitches," that's got to be at least 4 stars.
Right. You really skimped them on the scars, man.
Anytime you add "bitches" at the end of whatever you're saying, it's probably a pretty good thing. Brunch, bitches.
This roller coaster brought this man to such a peak that he found it necessary to proclaim to the world, "I am Tokyo, bitches.
I am Tokyo."
Right. So, Manny, where's that 4 star, baby? Where's that 5?
Dude, yeah. I would have rounded up. 3.5 goes up to 4.
"I am Tokyo, bitches. I am full of sushi restaurants. I am fish market."
Yeah, this is like the take on the "I am the hog butcher of the world." "I am the city of broad shoulders. I am Tokyo, bitches."
You know, the beauty of that sentence is it really changes with your inflection there.
Oh, it does.
"I am Tokyo, bitches." "I am Tokyo, bitches."
Like true art, it's alive.
This review is dancing like fire in my hands.
It's never the same twice.
It's timeless. Yeah, let me just read it again. "Not bad. The feelings you'll be tossed off among the surrounding buildings is a kicker." Okay. "Some good G's, no loops. But hey, I'm Tokyo, bitches."
I feel we should pause a moment and comment on him saying, "The feeling you'll get flown off into buildings, what a kicker."
Yeah, the imminent death and terror you feel as you are flung dangerously close to these towers of metal and glass. It's a real knee slapper.
That's a laugh. What a gas.
I'm Tokyo, bitches, and I'm having a gas. And if I was Tokyo, bitches, and I was having a gas, 5 stars.
Yeah, man. Unless he's just someone who never reviews that highly.
Right.
I guess I can respect if you're somebody who's respect. Like, it's got to be perfect for the 5.
Mm-hmm. Respect. Yeah, the five is illustrious.
It's like
five
your virginity. You're not going to give that out to just anybody.
I don't know. There's a lot of reviewers who just throw those 5 stars up.
Ooh, just take it. I love you. I swear.
The drop of a hat. You know, you don't even have to smile at them. Let's go. 5 stars. The implication of 5 stars is enough for some people.
Yeah. Yeah, 5 stars all the way.
But not Manny. He's Tokyo, bitches. Right? He's a bit of a higher standard than the rest of us.
He's a high-class man.
Me. You got a review?
Yeah, after that roller coaster ride, I got something. Yeah, yeah.
That was stupid.
That felt good for everyone's ears. I have an Amazon review for another movie. I'm sorry, but I'm not sorry because I'm Dark Matt, bitches. This is a review that I – not a review. It's a movie that I featured on our Instagram at reviewparty.com just recently. But this was too long a review to screen cap and post there. So some of you might recognize the movie Labor Day.
Okay.
If you're hot on our Insta, if not, get there. What are you doing with your life? Insta is everything. Toasty.
It's everything I've ever loved. I'm Instagram, bitches.
This review comes to us from Soda Pop, who titles their review, Ugh. And Soda Pop writes, I give it 1 star because it's overrated here and at most deserves a solid 3 at best. So this is kind of like what, who was it, T?
Let me see here. Spider-Man, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is T. Welch.
This is like what T. Welch was doing, adjusting the curve. I give it 1 star because it's overrated here and at most deserves a solid 3. Could have been more if there was a better actor / actress for mother and son or better storyline. They were just weird. I didn't like the, quote, Wonder Years narrative either, especially the almost male voice, New York-y and raspy, but ultimately very cheesy. I think she's talking about narration.
Mm-hmm.
The mother talking about sex, no, really talking to him about how it makes one feel is very weird to say the least. I don't know if it was the adaption from the book to movie that sucked because I didn't read the book. Perhaps it sucked as well. The only thing that didn't suck, thus 1 star, was Josh Brolin's figure throughout the movie.
Absolutely.
Watching him will help one to finish watching it without a doubt. The young boy has shifty eyes that was kind of correct, as he was kind of shifty too. The middle-aged boy character is just weird looking with his little raisin eyes. I don't know what that means. And puffy face, then that is transformed into Tobey Maguire at the end. So from an olive complexion, dark hair, to a mousy blonde, pasty Tobey Maguire. It's like they were banking on Tobey Maguire to save this movie for some odd reason. Josh Brolin makes you feel sorry for his character, because he always got the short end of the stick throughout his life with his love choices, family situations. As an aged man, Josh Brolin still looks good. But it looks as if Kate Winslet smells like urine and is suffering from dementia.
What the fuck?
The score is also atrocious with the looming music death march anxiety noise booming throughout. 1 star, as said.
Dread it. Run from it. Josh Brolin's body arrives all the same. I got my funny Josh Brolin Thanos joke out of the way. Now I can say, you fucking say that about somebody. That they look like they smell like urine. That is the meanest shit you can say to somebody.
It's probably worse that you say they look like they're suffering from dementia, I think.
Yeah.
A little bit.
They look...
That may have been lost in the overtalk there. But.
No, I heard that. That was a part of the outrage. I was so outraged by it that I quickly forgot because of my lovely, wholesome Thanos joke. But yeah, that is just terrible.
Rough.
When I read those words by this reviewer, who I was on board with, then, you know, reality is often disappointing.
Yeah, like they're talking about a little boy with raisin eyes. I'm like, ooh. You've got some strange imagery going on here, but then you get harsh.
she's writing this review, and she says someone looks like they have dementia and are covered in pee smell. And she just looks in the mirror and says, "The hardest choices require the strongest wills." Send review.
Yeah. She hit enter and just sits back.
She sees the review average drop from 4 stars closer to 3.
That's right.
I am inevitable.
If I could only remove half the reviewers.
She looks at all the future purchases. Ah, grateful universe. Oh, man. I don't know. People be wilding on this internet place, dude.
Yeah, Soda Pop.
Soda Pop, and I'm a little unsettled by your choice of insult there. She rocks. What if I said that about you?
Hating on Tobey Maguire, too.
On Tobes. Innocent Toby. Olive, pasty face complexion, Toby. Mousy looking.
complete happenstance that I happened to find a review with Tobey Maguire name dropped in it.
Hey, it's a Tobey type episode.
It's a Tobey type day.
I think we gotta let this Tobey type day go to rest. You know, if you love it, let it go.
All right.
So, hey, thanks for listening to this ReviewParty.com episode. If you made it this far, I mean, you had some fun.
You love us.
You love us. I love to feel this love. So thanks for being here. Thanks for listening. I want to let you know we got new episodes every Tuesday. Hashtag Tuesday Reviews Day, baby. Get them podcast listening devices revving up Monday night. Because you know Tuesday morning you're going to have some hot, hot content sitting waiting for you. If you want to be a part of that hot, stinky content, why don't you send us an absurd review to muse over? Please send us an email with a hyperlink to the review or a screenshot, whatever it takes. Send it to reviewparty.com@gmail.com. Include a name so we can give you some credit, just like Tat did on today's episode.
Yes, and we can say thank you to you. It'll be magical, folks.
Beautiful.
If you want to just interact with us and say, hey, guys, what's up? How's it going? What's up? We won't fault you for doing any of that. I know interaction is awkward, but that's why it's easier when you do it.
Just send us literally 8 to 20 messages in a row. Hey, what's up? Hey, going on? Hi. Wow, what's going on? Sorry. We'll think you're very cute.
Yes, we will. You can do all of that on the social media platforms that are out there for download on your devices, like Instagram and TikTok at ReviewParty.com and Twitter at ReviewPartyPod. You can also hit up our website, ReviewParty.com, where you can find all the episodes, the blog posts that are all about reviews in some way, shape, or form. And you can just shop the shop. You can just sit and refresh your browser again and again and again.
Yeah, and pump up them numbers, baby. Ooh, ooh. You know, Justin Bieber got in big trouble one time because he reposted a image from a Justin Bieber fan page that was instructing how to, like, pump the numbers up of his new single, where you, like, put your Spotify volume down to 1, not 0, and then play it on repeat all day to pump up the numbers.
Dang.
Yeah, that's a big thing in music today. Some people, I know... I will say that, what's his name? J. Cole drops that a lot of rappers do that. They have entire rooms filled with laptops or phones just playing their songs on repeat to pump up their numbers.
Ugh.
Crazy, right?
Gross.
It's a crazy place. We should do that. Hey, speaking of Spotify, why don't you pump up the Nosebleeds numbers with some genuine listening? You've heard their song Bread for Breakfast throughout the episode. What a Jamboree. It's our theme song. If you want to hear more songs that are that good, that fantastic, go check out Nosebleeds on Spotify. One word. One nose, one bleed. Hey, I got not exactly a review to finish this out this week, but some lovely internet content.
Oh.
This is a couple tweets from the account at Jurassic Park to go. Jurassic Park updates. It's sort of like it's a Twitter account that's fashioned. It's as though, you know, like an amusement park might have an account where they shout out like, oh, the Raging Bull is under maintenance today. We'll be back tomorrow. Tweet out stuff like that. Sort of like that if it was for Jurassic Park and run by a drunk intern.
I see.
Shout out Jurassic Park updates. Funny Twitter account. The tweet in question reads... In a sense, none of our dinosaurs have ever, quote, escaped, because society itself is just another larger cage. Fuck yeah, that sounds so smart. Send tweet. And then they replied minutes later, but yeah, like 18 to 19 dinosaurs are currently loose.
That's awesome.
But true.